Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
But I do want to talk about, and I know we're going to get to soon. I'm not quite sure of the timing we're going to get there. I'm going to revamp a series on the Holy Spirit and talk about that coming up soon. And so that will be a good one. This is another one. I think it's so important. I want to talk about how do we identify and upgrading. Actually, this is called I entitled this, if they're going to put it on the YouTube, Identity Upgrade. How do we identify is how do we recognize ourselves? So bear with me just a little bit. We're talking about some human factors, how people identify. We identify often by gender, male or female. We identify by race. We identify by age, probably not as much as we used to, but we identify by physical traits. People identify the short, tall, skinny. We identify by occupation. Say, what do you do? And well, I'm this. Often it's difficult for people who retire, especially if they retire too early and they lose a sense of purpose and identity. Because it's very easy to wrap your identity up in that. How do we recognize ourselves? How do we want other people to recognize us? We identify by relational status, married, single, divorced. I remember when Joy and I got married on our wedding night, there was the photographer was trying to get us all together, and he said, we were standing over there by the cake or something. He said, Mrs. Clayton, would you come over here? And I'm looking for my mother. And so was Joy. She was looking for her mother, for my mom. And she had not yet identified with being Mrs. Clayton. And so, but you know, she got used to it. It was rough there for a few years. I think she didn't know she wanted to identify with being Mrs. Clayton, but it worked out. So we identify by relational status. You hear people say, I'm married. I'm a father. I'm a mother. I'm a grandparent, great grandparent. So these are all different ways that we identify. Then there's some abstract ways that we identify. This is how we see ourselves. Now this is where it gets into a long way of how we behave. A lot of times it's how we see ourselves. People can see themselves as attractive or unattractive. See themselves as an extrovert, an introvert, a leader, someone who is, I'm different. People say, I'm just different, which can be a vast array of things. Creative, I'm a loner, I'm a planner. People identify with different abstracts. And then you can go into identifying with being smart, or strong, or weak, or a worrier. How you identify often is really going to impact how you act. The person you see is the person you'll be. And I'll give an illustration most of you can understand in terms of how it identifies. How many of you are, football's coming in a few months, how many of you, unless you're from the rest of the world that thinks football is coming in the World Cup, which we call soccer here. But to the world, it's football. But football to us doesn't start till the fall. How many of you are Texan fans? It was pretty weak. I was hoping for a little more out of that. How many of you are Cowboy fans? Okay, but here's my deal. If you are a Texan fan, do you wear cowboy gear?
No.
Oh, see, immediately, no. If you're a cowboy fan, do you wear Texan gear?
No.
no. And so a lot of times that's identification. Over the years, I learned a few things. One, I stopped picking on cowboy fans because they got upset. People strongly identify. They say the crime rate in cities goes up when the team loses. Domestic crime rises, like in Houston or Dallas, when the Texans lose. They said the domestic crime, people identify with that. I used to tell blonde jokes. I stopped. I made some blondes angry. I'm like, it's a joke, not to them. Because again, it's how they identify. And so, you know, we can look at it from a sports angle. We can look at it from just a physical angle. Here's where it gets challenging. When you see yourself spiritually, how you see yourself spiritually, if you bring some of the negative things on how you see yourself naturally, if you bring it into your spiritual life. Now, spiritually, you can identify as Christian, believer, follower of Jesus. But where we need to upgrade is too many see themselves as weak, as struggling, as inconsistent, as disappointing. And so how you see yourself is going to a lot of times have a big impact on how you act as a believer. So you say, well, is there a solution to that? Because, you know, Alan, I am what I am. Well, not necessarily. Because what you are is subject to change. And the good news is it's good change. Paul had a revelation of identity. Probably one of the best revelations of identity of anyone. And he was, toward the end of his life, he was a prisoner. He was on his way to Rome. They put him on a boat. He told them ahead of time, I got a bad feeling about this. He said, I have a bad perception about this. Basically, we're all going to die. And they went anyway. And they hit a major storm. And so in the middle of the storm, an angel came and spoke to Paul and said, Paul, he said, don't be afraid, because God's going to spare you and everybody on the ship. But listen to how Paul identifies. He says, but after a long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. I don't think he's rubbing in their face. I think he's simply telling them, I've already been correct. I told you not to go. He said, now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God, now here's, to whom I belong and whom I serve. He's identifying with belonging to the Lord and serving Him. And the reason I'm going that, because I'm gonna go two areas of identity, but let's talk about his first one. The first one is, I belong to the Lord. He identified with being bought through Jesus. I belong. 1 Corinthians, 6th chapter, Paul's writing to the church. He said, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now I know that we're Texans. I'm a naturalized Texan. I got here later. If you were born here, that makes you a regular Texan citizen. And I know that we're Texan, and we don't like the idea that we belong to anybody. Honestly, I came from North Carolina. I've never seen a state that's more proud of being a state than Texas, ever. Yeah. Anyway. But the idea of we belong to someone is not an idea that sits well a lot of times with people. And yet, we were bought. We were bought at a price. Jesus shed his blood to purchase us and redeem us and buy us back from being under the bondage of the enemy. We're no longer under the authority of darkness. We have been purchased. We belong to God. We're his. We belong to him. But that's a good word to think about. I belong to him, which means if I'm in a tough time, He's not abandoned me, I'm His. We go through a hard time, God's not way off some distant. Well, here's the beautiful thing. God's not way off distant. He lives in me. Where he, people say, how, you know, God's so far, I just feel like my prayers don't reach the ceiling. Your prayers don't need to reach the ceiling. He's already living on the inside of you. He's in your spirit. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so that's a wonderful way to identify, but also is, and I belong to the Lord. I'm His. If you have made Jesus your Lord, you've been bought with a price. A precious price, much more than silver or gold, with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and spot. So you belong. Paul said, I belong to the Lord. Second thing he said was, I serve the Lord. Now, belonging to the Lord is something that God did for us through Jesus. Serving the Lord, it was a choice by Paul. In Romans, the first chapter, you see his entrance, how he talks to people. He said, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Now, here's a beautiful thing, guys. We were all, when you made Jesus your Lord, you were purchased, you were bought, we're bought. That's something God did for us. But being a servant of God is something we choose to do. And there's two identities I want to talk about tonight. One is what God has done for us through Jesus. And two is what identity we'll take on. Which one will we choose? So I'll explain that in a second. But let's talk about the first one because it's a really good one. This is a new creation reality. What we are, who we are, what Jesus did for us. Now you know this first one, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We know this one by heart. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Old things being old things spiritual, all things becoming new, becoming spiritual. Obviously, if you had red hair and you made Jesus your Lord, the next day you did not wake up a blonde. It was still red hair. So the old things that passed away is a spiritual condition. So what we have now is what we call new creation realities. And we identify with being a new creation. So here's another new creation reality. What we are the righteousness of God. We have right standing. We say, Alan, there's none righteous, no, not one. Yes, that was the case. But when Jesus came, paid the price for our sins, went to hell for us, was raised from the dead, then we have the ability now when we receive Him to become the righteousness of God. We have right standing with God. Now, this is something you need to get a hold of. Go ahead, 2 Corinthians 5, same chapter. For He made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin. He did not sin. He didn't. Jesus never sinned. He made Him to be the punishment for sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Now, guys, that's important. We identify with being in right standing with God. And you say, well, you know, I don't feel like I'm in right standing. It has nothing to do with your feelings. This is legal. This has everything to do with what Jesus did for us. And when you made Him your Lord, whether you feel like it ever in your life, you have right standing with God. All of my children, I got them all here this week. All of my children know they have right standing with me. They'll knock on the door, and if no one answers it, they'll walk in. Unless I lock it. But if I know they're coming, I unlock it and they'll walk in. Matt's the first one. Usually the other ones will stand out there for a while. Matt's like, boom, he's in. But he has right standing. When you have right standing, it would be crazy for my kids for me to open the door and they're like, Daddy, please. Could you just let me in the house? I won't mess up anything. I won't eat any of your food. Could you please just let me? I'd go, what is your problem? Get in here. Because my kids have right standing. Now, if you show up at my door, I might think about it before I let you in. I'd be like, how'd you find my house? What you doing here? But the right standing that we have is not that we earned. It's something Jesus did for us. But it's important that we identify with that. identify with being in right standing with God. Now, see, this goes over kind of, because everyone knows what they did wrong. Everyone knows where they've fallen short. But this isn't a function of where you've done wrong and fallen short. This is a function of what Jesus did for us. And when you made him your Lord, you were made in right standing. Now, here's the deal. You say, well, Alan, I messed up bad. Well, and that's why the Bible said if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all what? Unrighteousness. So we get cleansed. When my kids messed up, I did not disown them. I did not say, you're not my child. Look what you did to your room. Your room is a mess. You are no longer my child. That would be crazy. They're my kids. Clean your room up. Get it clean. Come down. This is not a function. This is legal. This is a legal position that we have in Christ. And so identifying with that, see, if you don't identify with that, then you're always on the beggar side of your relationship with God. Begging God to, please God, oh, please God, please God. Listen, it would be wrong. If you're a parent, you would be embarrassed. I'd be embarrassed if I was up here and all of a sudden my kids came begging like, oh, Dad, please, I'm hungry. And I just, can I get $10 to go to Chick-fil-A? No, it's going to take more than that. It's going to take $20 to go to Chick-fil-A. You would look at me, why are you doing this? Why are you begging? You don't have to beg me. You don't have to beg. Listen, as a believer, because you've made Jesus your Lord, you have the same right standing. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. And just like, okay, we'll go with me. Just like I can come and stand before the throne, I know Alan can come and stand before the throne. I know Joy can come and stand before the throne. And you're just as welcome there. Because we don't come on our, I don't come as Pastor Allen. Joy doesn't come as Saint Joy. We come as thank you for what Jesus has done for me. Amen. Lord, I come in Jesus' name. And because of that, I have right standing. It's like if someone gave you a coat, said, if you wear this coat, you can get in. This is a club. You wear this coat, you can come in the club. You're not wearing the coat, you don't get in. You see the coat, you get in the door. You don't have the coat, you don't get in. Listen, when you made Jesus your Lord, you put righteousness on. So you get to stand before the throne of God and go, Lord, here I am. I am so glad to be here. I'm in right standing. That's an identity. Again, it's not a function of your feelings. It's not a function of our weaknesses or failure. It's our identity in Christ. And here's it. Our identity in Christ becomes a reality in our lives. We become more conscious of it through two things. By one, meditation on these things. 1 Timothy 4:15, Paul said, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. Now, Sunday, if I brought up, and I'm going to bring it back again. I think it'll work. It'll stick in your head. I brought up halo. Halo is a ring of light around the head. You see it in art. But HALO is an acronym. Have a scripture, absorb it, lip it, which is the next one, and then own it. How do we become more conscious of being in right standing with God? See, I can say that right now. When I first got saved, it was hard for me to say I had right standing with the Lord. But I've been doing this for a while. So I can say, thank you, Lord, I have right standing. Hello, Father. I'm so glad I can come. Bible said we can come boldly to the throne of grace. And that means we belong. And so to do this, to make this more real, it's by meditation on these truths. We begin to think about it. We absorb it. We don't just skip over it. We begin to go, thank you, Lord, I have right standing with you. And then we speak these truths. Romans 10:8. We speak this. The word is near you. It's in your mouth. And in your heart, that's the word of faith which we preach. You really need the word in two places. You need it in your heart and you need it in your mouth. When you put it now, and in the mouth is the toughest one to get it into for most people. Because it's we feel weird. If you looked at yourself tonight before you, maybe in the mirror you go, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. That feels kind of weird. just like it felt weird for Joy to look in the mirror and go, I'm Mrs. Clayton. She wasn't accustomed to that. She's accustomed to it now. But you begin to say it, and it doesn't make it true. It's already true. It makes you more conscious of it. Now, I was thinking about this because we ought to be people that talk differently. And I was thinking about the Navy SEALs. Do we have any Navy SEALs here? Anybody? Okay. Anybody in the military? You served in the military or you're in the military now? If that's you, would you stand up just because we appreciate you? If you served in the military, thank you. Great. Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you, guys. We appreciate your service, for sure. I was thinking about as believers, we ought to talk different. The Navy SEALs, I just use them as an example because they have their own culture and they have very specific sayings and mottos. The Navy SEALs have a saying that says, the only easy day was yesterday. That's one of their sayings. That meant that today is going to be tough and what you did yesterday is not enough. I like this saying. Here's a saying from the Navy SEAL, ready to lead, ready to follow, never quit. We ought to adopt that as believers. Ready to lead, ready to follow, never quit. Now, here's where I'm getting at. These SEALs have a culture. We believers have a culture. And as believers, we ought to have things that become part of our culture that we just say. We just say that we're new creations in Christ. We just say that we have right standing. We just say that we're accepted in the Beloved, that we are forgiven, that we're chosen, that we're adopted. See, all of these things are scriptures. And as we begin to say them, they become a reality in our lives. And I was thinking about these, and I was thinking about these are realities, but how we choose to identify, I think it would be really helpful for us if we identified differently. That we identified not just as, well, I'm just me and, you know, I'm a believer and I'm just me. How about this? How about we begin to identify as soldiers? I appreciate the military, but when you're in the military, you don't have a choice. You are going to be a soldier or if you're Navy or what do you call them? Sailor? Air Force, Airman, Army is grunt, soldier. 2 Timothy, Paul's writing. He said, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who's enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Hardworking farmer must be the first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. I'll have to introduce this. I'll take it up next week. How we choose to identify. There's some ways we can identify, but these are choices. We can choose to be strong in the grace that's in Christ. We can choose to be strong. You do not have to live your whole Christian life feeling like you're weak and ineffective. You can be strong. But you're going to have to identify and choose, like, I will be strong in the grace that's in Christ. What's the grace that's in Christ? That you are a new creation, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, that you are forgiven, that you're chosen, that you're adopted, that you are accepted in the Beloved. That's being strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. God's grace has provided something for us. We need to begin to identify with that and go, what God has done in me is greater than anything that's been done to me. Amen. What's been done in me is greater than anything that I have done or not done in my past. What has been done in me is powerful. And because it's powerful, I am strong in grace. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. There's no sense in me living the rest of my life saying I'm a weak Christian. I am not a weak Christian. I am strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. That's a different thing. And what if we took being a soldier for Christ as seriously as the military takes being a corpsman or a sailor or a grunt? What if we took that just as serious? If we took it just as serious, he said, endure hardship as a good soldier. I think we don't take, if you had a dream tonight and the Lord came to you and said, you're one of my soldiers. You wake up tomorrow with a new attitude. Yeah. You wake up tomorrow and go, yes, I'm going to be a soldier for the Lord. I'm going to endure hardship. I'm going to be focused. I'm going to not get distracted with everything going on in the world. This is something, listen, you say, well, Alan, I don't want to be a soldier. I just want to go to church and be nice and go to heaven. That's all. That's all I want. That's all you'll get. That's all you'll get. Oh, but heaven's good and coming to church is great. But what if God had something more for you? What if there was something more for us to do than just simply be church members and, I'm struggling and I'm weak? What if we just said, you know what? I'm going to be everything God called me to be. And he called me to be strong in grace. He called me to be focused. I'm like a soldier for the Lord. And because I'm like a soldier for the Lord, I am focused. I am not so distracted with everything going on in life. The screen doesn't rule me. The internet doesn't rule me. My feelings don't rule me. I belong to the Lord. I'm a soldier for him. Does this make sense, or am I the only one happy with this? Okay. The golf clap was nice. I do. I really did. I appreciate that. I want to talk about this next week because there's two identities. There's the identity that we have in Christ, and there's the identity that we choose. And the one we choose can make all the difference in the world. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here this evening or you're watching online, you say, you know, Alan, I don't even know if I have a relationship with the Lord. I'm not sure. Or I did at one time and I've gotten away from him and I know it and he knows it, but I want to come back and I assure you he wants you back in fellowship with him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. I'm going to ask you one thing. If that's you that I'm talking to and you say, I've been away from the Lord or I want to be sure where I am with the Lord, would you pray for me? Would you shoot your hand up across this auditorium? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, I see you. Thank you. In the back, yeah, in the front. Wonderful. Thank you. Oh, good. Hands have gone up all over. Good deal. Appreciate your courage and your humility. You can put your hand down. We're going to pray. If you didn't lift your hand, you wanted to, you can still jump in on this prayer. This is a heart prayer. We're going to pray it with you. Online, I can't see you, but this is for you. We're going to pray with you as a church family. Don't be embarrassed. Just pray it out loud. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you. Heads are still bowed. Father, thank you for those that acknowledged and prayed that prayer from their hearts. I thank you for what you've done in them. Father, for those online that we can't see, I thank you, Father, for the change that's taking place. And so, Lord, I thank you. Your grace is wonderful. Thank you for what your grace has done. Thank you for the future they have in you. Father, for the rest of us, we give you all the praise for your goodness to us. Thank you. You found us, but you did not leave us as you found us. And you've changed us on the inside, and we're living inside out. Lord, we give you all the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.